2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at, well, let's start at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. What Paul begins to do here is give us a list of the perils of his life as a Christian and as a propagator of the gospel of Christ. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 39, 40 was the limit. They always gave 39. 5 times he was beaten with 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, that is, in the waters. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in peril in the country or the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. Paul gives you a list of what he has gone through physically. And on top of that, he says, I carry a burden for the churches. So just keep his personal situation in mind. Every week we go through the little ritual of prayer requests. Sometimes more than others, but always there are some. And they may be about all kinds of problems. Physical problems, spiritual problems, financial problems, marital problems, job problems. You know the list. You know how it goes. There are differences between temporal things and eternal things. And as I've listened over the months and over the years, I began to realize something. That our prayer requests primarily are focused on the temporal. We often get caught up in the things that are temporal, temporary, that are passing away. And we forget to pray about things that are eternal. Sandy picked it up 2 or 3 weeks ago. She made reference to it again last Sunday in her praise time. Of praying for souls. So often we get caught up in things that are temporary and are passing away, and we forget to pray for that which is eternal. taking into consideration that all things are to be prayed for. I don't want to diminish that in any way. And needs are legitimate needs. Requests are legitimate requests. And yet, when we compare our prayers with the inspired prayers of the Apostle Paul, priority deficiencies become apparent. And so I listed all of these. As we look at what Paul prayed for others, keep in mind that he suffered continual persecution, trials, hardships in the body, in this life, in the temporary, and yet he carried the burden of many churches, the burden of young men that he was training, bringing up to follow him. He even wrote some of his letters in prison. We know that. You would think that his personal requests would be full of petitions to be freed from pain, to be freed from trial, to be free from suffering. And yet we find something very different as you analyze how Paul prayed and for what he prayed. When it comes to Paul's personal requests, and I know I'm going to bore some of you with just an overwhelming amount of information, and I'm not going to take time to read all these scripture verses. That's going to be your responsibility. That's why I gave you the verses, so you can do it. You can check me and see if I'm bringing out some of those things. But when it comes to Paul's personal requests, three times he prayed that he might be able to visit those he wrote to and be refreshed by their company. That's a nice prayer. We all need that. We need to be with some people sometimes and be refreshed by them. Twice he prayed that he might be rescued from perverse, evil, and disobedient men. Once he prayed that he would offer up acceptable service to the saints, that he would find joy by doing the will of God, that he would appear approved of God, that he would be used to complete what was lacking in the faith of his readers. In other words, that what he taught them would be what they needed. One time. That's recorded. But the bulk of what Paul had others praying for him was directly related to the preaching of the gospel. Paul asked people to pray that he would speak the gospel with boldness, speak the gospel with accuracy, speak the gospel with clarity, that God would open a door for him to preach the word, that he would speak of the mystery of Christ, that God would use him to spread the word rapidly, and that God would use him in such a way that the word of the Lord would be glorified. See what his requests were? When you compare what Paul asked God to do for others with what we pray for others, it's convincing. may be convicting. It reveals a serious priority problem, and it's a stern rebuke to what sums up the majority of our prayers. Here's what Paul prayed for others. Once he prayed for unity among believers in doctrine and speech. Four times Paul prayed that his readers would be strengthened with power of the Spirit according to the riches of God's glory with the inner man, according to God's glorious might, in every good work, and in everything they would say. He prayed that they would be strengthened. With power of the Spirit, with God's glorious might, with every good work, and with everything they would say. Five times, Paul either offered praises or requests that the saints would offer praise to God. Five times, counts going up. Paul either offered praises or requests that the saints would offer up to God. These are fairly common in prayer requests at Terre Haute Bible Center. From the prayer request, we receive a spiritual maturity and growth of the saints is not a high priority. Now let me say that again. From the prayer requests that we hear on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, spiritual maturity and the growth of the saints is not a high priority. Certainly not the priority that it was with the Apostle Paul. Okay? For instance, in Paul's prayers, nine times, and this is where it gets boring and hard to listen and you can't write it all down, I know that. But nine times Paul prayed that his readers would experience various kinds of personal growth. It's not all the same. It's many different kinds and ways. For instance, he prayed that his readers would be filled with all joy and peace in believing, that they would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would be made complete, that they would be comforted by God, that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, that they would be rooted and grounded in love, that they would be filled up to all the fullness of God, that they would be on the alert in their prayers for all the saints. He was praying for their prayers. This is what he wanted them to pray for. Now, not one time, go through your list, but not one time did Paul pray, at least it's not recorded, not one time is it recorded that Paul prayed for somebody's health. Now, that's not a rebuke. That's just one of those amazing things. Surely he had some sick people around him. I think Epaphroditus, wasn't he ill once and nearly died, Paul told us. Not once did Paul pray for somebody's finances. That's interesting. Not once did Paul pray that people would have safe travel. But what Paul did pray frequently was for what? Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Now, let me try to put some of that in perspective, lest you think I'm all against praying for someone's health or someone's finances or for safety. No. But what I want us to see is from the priority of scriptures, of scripture, these are far down on the list. In fact, they weren't on Paul's list. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for safety or for finances or for health. But we should major. We should major on spiritual growth. That which is eternal. We focus on that which is temporal. Paul's prayer life focused on that which was eternal. And here's a real shocker. In modern day Christianity, we tend to downplay knowledge as if it were an optional part of Christianity. What most churches are pushing today is experience. People want to have a real life experience with God. But shamefully, many Christians are having experiences that are contrary to the Word of God, and they don't even know it. Why don't they know it? Because they don't know what the Word says. They have no measuring standard. And the Word of God is the measuring standard. Christianity should be experiential, but having a clear understanding of the Word of God must be present to control and evaluate the experiences that we have. But here's what happens. We have an experience, quote, quote, and I put that in quotes deliberately. We have an experience, and then we judge the Word of God by the experience. What really needs to happen is that we judge the Word of God. That we judge the experience by the Word of God. The experience doesn't measure the Word. The Word measures the experience. The Word is the standard. Not our experience. One person wrote that most Christians would rather die than think. In fact, most of them do. We're not thinkers today. Well, this characterization is hyperbolic, okay? Hyperbole. It is in many cases too close to the truth. Christianity is about knowing certain biblical facts, doctrines, theological truths found in the Word of God. It is about knowing Jesus Christ. There is no legitimate Christianity in a vacuum. of knowledge. This is apparent in the prayers of Paul, where he prays that his readers would have knowledge 17 times. It is the second highest frequency prayer requested by the Apostle Paul. To have knowledge. To have knowledge. Read your verses. Look for it. He prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom, of revelation, of knowledge, that they would approve the things that are excellent, that they would stand fully assured in the will of God, that they would be enlightened to the hope of their calling, that they would know the riches of God's inheritance in the saints, that they would comprehend the surpassing greatness of God's power toward believers, that their love would abound in real knowledge, that their love would abound in real discernment, that they would be able to comprehend every dimension of God's love. See, it just goes on and on and on. That they would be able to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they would be filled with all spiritual wisdom. That they would be filled with all spiritual understanding, that they would be increasing in the knowledge of God. That the fellowship of their faith would become effective through the knowledge of every good thing. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Paul wanted them to know. Paul wrote these things under divine inspiration, moved by the Holy Spirit. This teaches us that one of the most important things that God wants for believers is that they have a profound knowledge of the Word of God. And Paul prays for that so frequently. Now, what do you think Paul prayed for most? What do you think Paul prayed for most? For the believers he wrote to. Well, knowledge has to be number one or number two, wouldn't you think? Do you think it was their physical health? Do you think it was their happiness and their comfort? Do you think that their feelings were a high priority? Big, fat, no. These things are never mentioned. Okay? The number one prayer request of Paul is that a believer would obey the Word of God. And by obeying, I'm referring to doing. If you're not doing, you're not obeying. It is only in obeying God that we show Him love and give Him glory. Jesus said, "You call me love, you call me Lord, but you do not do what I tell you to do." When we disobey, we show hatred. Maybe that's too strong a word. But a lack of love toward God and an unwillingness to give Him glory. "Why do you call me Lord," He says, "and don't do the things that I've told you?" Because of this, Paul includes a request that believers would obey in nearly all of his prayers. Do obey. This is such a long list, but I want you to hear it. Paul prayed that his readers would do no wrong, that they would do what is right, that they would be sincere and blameless until Christ comes, that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness, that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that they would please God in all respects, that they would bear fruit in every good work, that they would attain to all steadfastness, that they would attain to all patience, that they would be able to fulfill every desire for goodness. Do you do every good thing that you want to do? No, you don't. I don't. But that's the goal, that they would attain to all steadfastness, that they would attain to all patience, that they would be able to fulfill every desire for goodness, that they would be able to work in faith with power, that God would be glorified in them according to God's grace, that they would increase and abound in love for one another, that they would increase and abound in love for all people, that their hearts would be established without blame in holiness until Christ returns, that they would be sanctified entirely, completely. He prayed that. That they would be counted worthy of God, or worthy by God. That they would stand perfect in the will of God. That they would be directed in the love of God. That they would be directed in the steadfastness of Christ. That they would be able to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And when you hear that phrase, you should immediately think of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul told Timothy to pray for all men, for kings and for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. That's why you pray for your leaders, your president, your congress, your governors, your mayor, etc., etc. Because they affect the quality of our life. Thus, they're to be prayed for by Christians. 23 times Paul prayed that believers would obey God. Isn't that amazing? 23 times. That was Paul's highest priority for believers. And since what he wrote is inspired, we can know that it is God's highest priority for believers. Paul has given us an inspired record. This has come from God. These are God's priorities for our life and for our praying, our praying for one another. Obedience is related to Paul's second most frequently requested prayer. knowledge. Because we cannot obey God unless we know what the Word of God says. While we're to pray for all things, and we do pretty good at that, if it's something temporal, if it's something personal, if it's something physical or financial or affecting our quality of life and lifestyle. But as you look at Paul's prayer priorities, that would make a good title, Dennis. Paul's Prayer Priorities. Just thought of it. I hadn't written it down. As we think of Paul's prayer priorities, and we begin to line up our prayer life in relation to how we pray for other people. Now, we may pray for someone who is sick. We may pray for someone who has a financial need. I'm not saying we don't do that or not to do that. But do you see how far short that falls from the biblical teaching? That's the whole purpose this morning. To show us the biblical priorities of prayer. Not just prayer. If you are praying, listen to me, this sounds tough, but if you are only praying for the physical, the financial, the temporal, then you do not have a prayer life. You say, oh, I pray, but there's no depth. There's no depth because it's temporal. The depth is when we begin to pray spiritually for ourselves and for one another. That's our greatest prayer obligation. Do I appreciate you praying for me when I'm sick? Why, sure. Do I appreciate you praying for me when I have a financial need or my car breaks down or the roof blows off of my house? Or we pray for those things easily, but they're all temporal and they're going to pass away. Let's go deep. As they say, dig deeper. Dig deeper. Well, we're to pray about all things. Let's make sure that the priority of our prayer life lines up with what God inspired Paul to pray. That's why I gave you the list, so that you can use it as a study tool to look up for yourself at your leisure, at your convenience, in your quiet time with the Lord, and begin to learn how Paul prayed, what he prayed for, who he prayed for, what did he want to happen in their lives. More than just getting over being sick, or more than just a financial need. You know, you think about financial needs, and Paul was dependent upon churches and individuals. The Philippian church especially was generous to Paul. And Paul wrote a thank you note, which is basically Philippians. but there's no recorded record of Paul praying for his own finances. Don't think there is. He acknowledged need. God knows the need. And the same with many other areas. Well, let's wind up. Let's make it a habit of praying that believers would increase in their knowledge of the Word, and that believers would grow in obedience and maturity. And when we learn to pray like that, we will have struck the eternal rock, the solid rock for one another. There are many things we can pray about that we can't be sure that they're God's will. I pray about many things. I'm sure you pray about many things that when you're praying it, you're not sure that this is God's will. We're sort of throwing it up in the air and let's see what God does with it. But we can always be sure that God wants people to grow in the knowledge of the Bible, in the knowledge of His Word, and obedience to what it teaches. Grow in knowledge, grow in obedience to what it teaches. We can pray these prayers with confidence because we know that they are in the will of God. It is the will of God that we have knowledge, that we know Him, that we know Him. Not know about Him, but know Him experientially. And so we can pray these prayers with confidence because we know they're in the will of God. The timing, that's up to God. But we need to make sure our prayers are focused on that which is eternal. And the primary two are what? Knowledge and obedience to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word today. An unusual approach and presentation. But Father, we need to be reminded that we need to go deeper. We need to get behind and beyond the temporal and focus upon the eternal. Lord, help each one of us today. I would pray, Lord, that You would bring conviction, a real conviction to our spirit. About the need to deepen our prayer life for ourselves and for one another. Lord, fill our hearts with a desire to know the Word of God, to know it better, that we might be able to judge all things by the Word of God. And Lord, give us a desire to do it, to do it, to be obedient to the Word of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.